You know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit a great deal around here. The Lord seems to have a hold of mine and Anthony's shirt tail and keeping us pretty strong on that subject, because it's one that's been so neglected, and so many average people on a daily basis in the church don't even understand how it works. And today, I hope to be able to show you what Anthony showed us Thursday night. A very special time, and it's for me probably in the last two Thursday nights, I have learned more in those two sessions than I have in an awful lot of sessions that I have sat and listened to. I hope by now that we have got you convinced, that the Lord has got you convinced, that when He called you to be a born-again believer, He gave you power. Power to do anything that He called you to do. That He gave you the same power He gave Jesus Christ. And He said, Jesus said, you'll do greater things than I've done. Kind of hard for us to get a hold of sometimes. But we don't see things like God sees things. So you need to understand that God has equipped you from being born again with all the power you need to do anything He called you to do. And that power is called the Holy Spirit. That power that comes from the Holy Spirit makes all this possible. People just don't understand that anymore. They've never been taught that. And it seems like we're plowing new ground. But it's as old as the book. We've been given a power, but probably not like we think that we have. We can do tremendous things. Things like Jesus did. We have that potential. But to give us that kind of power is like giving a machine gun to a four-year-old. You're asking for trouble if you hadn't got him under control pretty good. So you need to understand, being equipped with that power, God has to keep us with tremendous control. And that control is the Holy Spirit. And very few times we're in a place where God can give it to us and let us use it, because of our sinful ways and our old sin nature, we have a tendency to use it wrong. In Jeremiah chapter 10, and this is something that we've got to constantly tell ourselves, because our very nature says this is not true. I am really, really special. If you just knew me, you'd know I was. But Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own way, his own steps, his own path. So, bottom line, spiritually speaking, you can't do it. And I can't do it either. But God can. And He chose to do it through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, and into us. And that's the way it works. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, Jesus says, Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. That is a tremendous license right there, folks. That what we bind here, will be bound in heaven, and what we loose here will be loosed in heaven. In other words, if we say this is not all right, then God says it's not all right. If we say it is all right, He says it's all right. Then the next verse has been so misunderstood. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How many times has that been used for church? That's not about church. It's not even in the context of church. If you look back on a couple of verses before, it's when somebody's out of whack in the church and one person goes to them and tells them of their problem. They won't change, so he goes and gets somebody else, and the two of them go and they talk to him, and if he still won't do it, then they go get the church and the church talks to him. They're dealing with problems here, and he says, when two of you get together and try to straighten out something, I'm there with you. That's what it's talking about. If you've ever wondered, you know, we think about this, and like I said, we don't get it. The Holy Spirit lives in me. It doesn't live in this building. When we all leave this building, God's not here. But as soon as the first Christian walks in the door, then He's here. So you see, if two are in here, God's here if you're born again, because He came with you. You can't move without His part of Him called the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. So it makes more sense if we find out what He's talking about. He says over in Matthew 16 also, when He was talking about establishing His church, you know, when the Catholics got it all mixed up, you know, about Peter being the rock and the first pope and all like that. Jesus was saying, I'll establish my church on me. Not Peter, on me. He brings it up then too. When I establish my church, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You know, we all pray. Even old Sarge and Beetle Bailey, you know, hanging on the cliff by that little old root that's sticking out there and looking down, he even prays, and there's no evidence whatsoever that he's born again. There's been a lot of stuff said about, does God hear the prayer of a sinner? Well, I know He hears the one calling for salvation, but it doesn't say anything about any of the rest of it. But everybody prays, but everybody doesn't understand about prayer. Usually, a new Christian starts praying for that God will change things in his life, in his environment, so that it will suit him. Where they think it will be better for them. Afterward, as they begin to mature and understand something about their relationship with God, they start praying for things that will be better for other people. But in both types of prayer, there are still many misconceptions. God started with a plan. You look at the top of this sheet if you want to, and you can see where Anthony drew this diagram up. I mean, this is like a mathematical problem right here. This is 1, 2, 3, 4 going right through the steps. If you pick up some, if you go to Walmart and buy some kind of little old something made over in China or something, there's a little paper in there, and it tells you just how to operate it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Even where a dummy like me could follow those things. This is what Anthony did with this thing about prayer and the Holy Spirit. But God started with a plan way before He ever formed the earth. He decided when He would start the earth. The plan started then. He decided when Jesus would be crucified to save the world. He decided when you would be saved and who would be saved. And then He's also decided at the end of that, Jesus is coming back. He had a very specific plan. If you're born again today, you are a part of that plan. You need to understand that. You have a purpose. But it's not your purpose. It's God's purpose. He created you unto good works. He saved you unto good works. God is not and never will be a being that helps your plans work like some kind of divine STP. I'm going to add God to what I'm doing, and I got this plan, and I'll ask God, you help me do this plan. That's the way most our prayers are. But see, God's got His plan, and it supersedes your plan. You are here for God, and God will help you to be equipped and to accomplish what He wants done. One fellow told me one time years ago, and I thought, this is the craziest thing I ever heard. He said, find out what God's doing and pray for it, and your prayers will always be answered. And you know they will. But that's really, simply put, is kind of the way it works. Unless your plans are God's plans, He's not going to help you with your plan. He's got a plan for you. And He's going to help you find that plan and equip you to do that particular plan He's got for you. He created you that way in 139 Psalms. He created a purpose for you. He created talents. When you were born again, He gave you a spiritual gift. It says in Ecclesiastes that there is a portion for you. God has already got planned what you're going to have in your life. Now, you can cross up God and start cheating folks and probably have more than you intended to, and He intended to, but it's going to ruin you. So there's no point in doing it. God says, what I start, I finish. And we've learned around here that most of our job, most of our responsibility as Christians, as we are watching and praying to see what's going on around us, most of our job will be to get God involved through our prayers with what's going on. I don't understand it. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, one of those prophets, Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, I didn't look it up, but it's come in my mind, that it says that some bad stuff was going on the earth and God was looking down in surprise that nobody was praying. That's our responsibility, to get God involved with whatever's going on that's not right, because He'll fix it. He can fix it. So what He says, what I start, I finish. And what our involvement a lot of time is just to get Him started in it. Once He's involved, though, He's going to carry out the solution according to His plan. This is called the will of God. That's the way He's going to fix it. Your prayer can be whatever it means to be, whatever you want it to be. But God is going to follow through with what He wants done. We probably get discouraged at times because we pray for the results. You have to be very, very careful trying to pray for the results of something. We don't know His plan. Jesus didn't know all His plan. The scripture says all of this. So no one but the Father knows the desired result whenever He gets involved with any kind of a problem. I knew a young preacher. I mean, this was the neatest family you ever seen. Some of you folks been around here a long time, heard me talk about it. He was here and a beautiful wife, just super, super nice guy, ordained. He was going to our church at the time. He didn't have his own church. He was young. He's going to school. Had a little baby, cutest baby you ever seen in your life, and his mom got cancer. So he goes into chapter 5 of James and prayed that his mom would not die from cancer. And his mom died. He didn't understand the 5th chapter of 1 John that says that if we're not praying in God's will, He doesn't even hear it. Well, to make a long story short, this young man got mad at God. He left the ministry. He left the church. He hated God, and it like to ruin his whole life, family, and everything else, simply because he didn't understand how prayer works. He thought that he had the power to ask God to change his mind about things, and God would just do whatever he wanted to do. That's not the way it is. And some folks are going to be surprised about that. I think about these guys down in South Alabama used to go to those dove shoots. And that one guy would be out there, he would shoot 40 times and he'd kill 35 doves. Another fellow would shoot 70 times and get 20 doves. One of them really wasn't a better shot than the other one. It's just that one guy shot at some of them, there wasn't any way he could hit. I mean, he'd see a little speck flying over and he'd bust a cap. There's a problem with praying like that, just praying about everything without any understanding. You see, it hurts faith. When you pray and pray and pray and don't get the answers you want, you begin to lose faith. So you got to understand. You got to know how to pray. And you got to know what to pray about, what not to pray about, and how it works. We don't get prayer answered because we know somebody at the top. And a lot of us think that's the only thing we need. But like Jesus, because we pray that God's will be done, whatever it is. Knowing God is what gives us the privilege of prayer. Without knowing God, you don't even have the privilege to pray. You know, Jesus in the garden, in the toughest time of his earthly ministry, in my opinion, he prayed, Lord, please don't make me have to go through with this. He came back three times, and the third time, he said, okay, Lord, if that's what I got to do, I'll do it. He didn't want to go through it, but he had to, because it was the only way that it could fit into God's plan. What would happen to this world if Jesus hadn't fit into God's plan? We'd all be in a mess. In 1 Corinthians, and you may want to turn there, verse 1, or chapter 1, and verse 22. There is something here that I'm afraid a lot of folks don't know, and I want to make sure you do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 21, Paul says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ. Paul says, the one that established us preachers with you Corinthians in Christ, and hath anointed us to preach to you, is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Very interesting thing right there. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, God, who has sealed you, Christians. That word sealed is the same word they use for branding. You branded animals. You branded slaves, so it would tell other people who owned them. God has branded you, Christian. He's branded you, and we need to understand how to read each other's brand. And has given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know what earnest money is? Yeah. If you have intentions of buying something, you can put down a little money up front. What am I doing wrong, Jim? Second Corinthians, I'm sorry. He held up two fingers, and I thought, Lord, I got more than 2 minutes. Huh? I'm sorry. Maybe some of you found it. I'm sorry. Because I've got Second Corinthians written in my notes. But anyway, he's given the earnest money of the Spirit in our hearts to prove that God is going to do something with you and that you will have a guarantee that God's going to do something with you. The earnest money of God is placing the Holy Spirit in your heart. If you have got the Holy Spirit, you've got that guarantee that you've got God. And God is going to do something with you. A lot of folks don't know that. They understand. It's told everybody. When you're born again, you get the Holy Spirit. And that's all they ever hear about. But the Holy Spirit in your heart is God's way of telling you and people around you, this person belongs to me. That's important. That's very important. Because the rest depends on us. God's done His part. When He called you, it says He gave you the power. He gave you the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is not just something in there, just there back on the back shelf collecting dust. It's there with all kind of, we talked about it last week, all kind of things you're supposed to do. But it's the guarantee that God owns us. And I'll tell you this, when you pay earnest, you come back and pick up whatever you put the earnest money down on. Jesus is coming back. And He's going to pay the rest. And He's going to pick us up. Because He owns us. Now, with all that being said, we've said a lot about the Holy Spirit lately. Let me tell you something about prayer. And this may shock some of you, and it may give you a whole new way to pray. I hope it does. Because you just won't be shooting at that dark speck up there hoping it's a dove, and out of the graces of God or something, maybe you can hit it. I don't know whether you knew about prayer or not, but in 1 John 5:14, it says, if you don't pray in God's will, He won't hear it. In James chapter 1 and verse 6, if we pray with any doubt, don't expect an answer. And Isaiah 59 and verse 1 says, our sin in our life, because we haven't dealt with it, stops answers. God's not going to give you an answer until you've confessed your sins and living in fellowship with Him. In Mark chapter 11, He says, if we don't forgive people around us, you're holding grudges. He said, I'm not going to forgive you. Whoa, I thought that was a freebie. I thought God always forgave us when we asked for forgiveness. No, if you're not forgiving others, He's not forgiving you. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, here's something, guys. You need to mark this down because it's about you. If you don't honor your wife and treat her like God intends for you to treat her, it'll keep your prayers from being answered. Do you know that? Don't leave the house in the morning with you and your wife fussing with each other. You straighten it out before you leave. You may need your prayer life before the day's over. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 13 says, if you stop your ear at the cry of the poor, you'll cry out to God too, and He won't hear you. John chapter 15 verse 7 says, if you're going to get your prayers answered, you got to abide in Him and let His word abide in you. You think about Him and you think about His word. In James chapter 2 and verse 25, James says, faith without works is dead. There's another thing it says in Hebrews. Works without God is dead works. They don't get you anything. Woo. I didn't know about all that. God showed me at one time 35 years ago, and I went through the Bible and I challenged my whole Sunday school class to find me anything that would keep our prayers from being answered. And they finally came up with 14. Haven't found any more. You find one that's not on my list, you'll tell me, I'll add it. I had no idea. I thought you just prayed. And if you're a good little boy, well, God answers your prayers. But you see, from that, He doesn't. Only the prayers that meet His specifications, He answers. And the biggest thing is, it's got to be in His will. And His will, like I said a while ago, is about His plan. It fits in His plan. Works are for God. Without God, we can't do it. If you are a spiritual being who has fellowship with God and maintains that fellowship with God by keeping your sins confessed, trying to work on your pride, your arrogance, and try to be humble like God says, because He resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If you're doing this kind of stuff, your needs, if you'll go back to Matthew chapter 6, you'll find out your needs are taken care of. You don't even have to pray about it. You don't have to pray about a home. You don't have to pray about food. You don't have to pray about what you're going to wear. It says, take no thought. You don't even think about it. That's a given. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. So you see, if I'm out here trying to be what God wants me to be and put my body and my life under the rule of God, God's going to see I don't starve. He's going to see that I'm not naked on a cold day, and He's going to give me some place to keep the rain off my back. That's just the way it is. Now, so if we stop for just a moment and think about most of the things we pray for. Do we pray with an unforgiving heart? Do we pray with any doubt? You reckon God's going to answer that prayer? Well, I hope He does. That just killed it right there. That's what He says. It's a very simple sequence. And it's right here on this page. And I ask Anthony, I'm not going to teach his lesson again. I'm not going to chase down all those scriptures that he chased down and put in this. It's all right here. And it's in the place it's supposed to be. We called them in grade school a handout. But something I want to make you aware of. Paul said, I pray that like Satan tempted Eve, that you guys don't miss the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. It's the simplest thing in the world, but so few of us understand it. So Jesus, to start with, told the disciples in the garden, watch and pray. That was His instructions to them. You watch and you pray. They didn't watch. They didn't pray. They slept. And the third time He came back and they were still sleeping again, He said, okay, don't worry about what I told you because it's too late now. And when the soldiers came to get Him, what did His disciples do? They scurried like a covey of partridges. That wasn't God's will for them. But they didn't know God's will because they hadn't been watching and they hadn't been praying. Peter whipped out his sword and cut the guy's ear off. And Jesus had to put his ear back on and said, don't do that, don't do that. I'm supposed to be going with them. They're supposed to take me. It's part of God's plan that they take me and kill me. I've been telling you about it. But they acted in their own reasoning, out of their own mind. What the fellow said seemed like the thing to do at the time. So now, if we look at this, here we are, Christian. Over here, the believer. You see down there and you see where it says a situation occurs. You're watching and you're praying like Jesus commanded you to do, and all of a sudden you notice something going on that you feel like you need to be involved with. So you pray about it. And here's what happens. You say to God, what should I do? The Holy Spirit grabs that prayer. The Holy Spirit then asks Jesus, what should they do? They're your people. Jesus turns around and asks God, God, what's your plan? God tells Jesus the plan. Jesus tells the Holy Spirit what they should do. The Holy Spirit tells us. That's the way it works. You know the reason that God doesn't hear some of these prayers? Because the Holy Spirit won't turn loose with them to go to heaven because they're not in God's will and He knows it. Now, very interesting thing here to me in the way Anthony explained. The Holy Spirit is here with me. We're just like that. He's inside. I can't get rid of it. I cannot pay attention to it. I can do what we did last week. I can make him mad. I can do all kind of things. And here in heaven, you got God up there, and you got Jesus sitting on a throne at his right hand, right there. So you got me and the Holy Spirit down here and God and Jesus up there. This sequence, when I say, Lord, what should I do? The Holy Spirit grabs it. He takes it to Jesus. Jesus turns to God and says, what's your plan? God says, this is the plan. This is what he should do to fit the plan. Jesus tells the Holy Spirit then, and the Holy Spirit tells me. Now, there's something else that needs to be thrown in here. This whole thing takes a millisecond. It's not a sequence that takes, it's just like that. Now there's something else. The scriptures say that communication between the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is done in words that cannot be uttered. You can't even say them. You can't form the sound in your mouth that the communication between those three deities, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you can't even say them. Folks have tried to convince me that I need a prayer language like it talks about in Scripture. But you see, in Scripture, you can't even utter what they're talking. So how can I use the language they're saying? I can't. So where these folks are getting stuff, I don't know, but it's not from heaven because the Bible says that's not the way it works. Now, I ask God, the Holy Spirit takes it, ask Jesus, Jesus asks God, God tells Jesus, Jesus tells the Holy Spirit tells me. At that point right there, I know what God wants done with that occasion that he has set in front of me. I've got a chance to obey. If I obey, if I start moving to obey, then God gives me the power and God gives me the revelation. The knowledge of how to do it. So I'm equipped with the power. I'm equipped with the revelation. Not only do I have the tools, the power, but I've got the knowledge of how to use that particular tool in that particular situation, in that particular way, to that particular people. For the doing, it says in one scripture, or the speaking, it says in another. This is what this whole process is about. And on the second page, it's got all the scripture references that Anthony used, that God gave him to fill in the blanks on this, to show you from scripture. It would have taken me to 2 o'clock today to go through all these things. But you got it on a piece of paper. In your study time, in your quiet time, if you want to, go back and look at every one of the scriptures. I do not tell you something that doesn't come straight from the book. And all of this that we've just said are straight from the book. And it's like I said, a 1, 2, 3, 4 sequence. Now, what's the purpose of the church? We've talked about that 3 or 4 times. You know what it is? Is to make you like Christ. Christ knew all about this. This is the way he operated. When he was down here, he dealt with the Holy Spirit, and now he's up there, and the Holy Spirit's doing his bid. They swap places. So the church is to teach us to be able to understand and handle things down here like Jesus did. He said he came as the firstborn. He's the oldest son of the church, and everybody looks up to older brother. And we're to do like he did. And he was obedient in all things. Now I want to ask you a question. If you don't understand how something's going, how can you be obedient? The thing is, you can't. I would encourage you to take this page and study it. It backs up everything we've just said. I have never seen a sequence of events put out on a piece of paper like Anthony did this. It's straight from God, straight from the Scriptures, and causes us to understand how God is working with us. And the thing is, we can't pray about everything. We saw that situation. There are things that we can get ourselves okay for. Did the last time somebody asked me for a 20, did I help him out, or did I turn my face and walk the other way? Because if I turn my face and walk the other way until I ask forgiveness of that, there's no use for me to ask God for a 20. He's not going to give it to me. We have a very special opportunity down here as born-again believers to dictate how we're going to be treated by our God. And it's how we treat other folks. If you're liberal with them, God's going to be liberal with you. If you're tight with them, He's going to be tight with you. If you can't understand that He owns everything, you don't own anything. And so all you're doing is taking care of what He's got. So when you give it to somebody, as we've been giving it, if He tells you to give it to them, what they do with it is not really our concern. It's their concern. It becomes His concern when we give them something. Now, somebody says, well, you know, if you give them a 20, they're going to buy cigarettes for part of it. So? That's the reason they got into jam to start with. They didn't know how to do things like God wanted to do, so we're going to have to deal with that situation. But it's okay. Because you see, the bottom line is, those people need to understand what God is all about. And how are they going to understand if me, supposed to be a representative of Him, don't act that way? So every time I'm faced with a situation and I pray and wonder when the answer comes back to me, I have a choice to be obedient or disobedient. How can I try to use God to bring people to Him if I choose not to be like God? And God is like Christ. And the Holy Spirit's working for them. It's all the neatest little situation you've ever seen. But that's the way it works. If there's any questions, there might be some, ask Anthony. Ask me. If I don't know it, I'll carry it to Anthony. But he and I were talking the other night after the Bible study. It would be neat, really, really neat, if we had a whole group of people here who understood these things right here. Can you believe that? To have the unity of a group of people, how much power would be available for us if we had that? So he said, hey, I gave it to Anthony. Anthony gave it to you. Now you're supposed to give it to them. So that's what we've done. Like I said, once we got the Holy Spirit, the rest of it is up to us. Let's pray. Father, make us understand this and how it all works. Father, as we pray, keep us from shooting blanks. Keep us from wasting our time praying for things that are not to be. Some of those things we don't know how to pray. That's when the Holy Spirit takes it, changes it, carries it into the throne room, and says it in such a way that God and Jesus understand it. So Lord, give us this understanding that we know how it works, so we can start taking our prayer time and making it something that can be very, very valuable for you. Get us concerned about doing good works, but because we know that you are glorified through what we do down here, that we may have good works, that people may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. Lord, we thank you for instruction. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit that makes us understand all this stuff. That even though we don't have the wherewithal to direct our own way, that we can understand you and you can direct our way. Father, thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.